broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, good evening and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. That, of course, is how you reach us. We're in our news and information hour. We generally don't take a whole lot of calls. We don't take any calls during this hour, but you never know, you know.
Yeah, we get a call from somebody who's really interesting and everything.
Yeah, like somebody's got a, like that one guy called up that one time. The one guy that called up that one time? Who are you talking about?
That one guy was in on the Touchables.
Yeah, about the Touchable?
The Touchable? What are you talking about?
The guy with Elliot Ness.
Oh, that old guy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. That cat was great. That was an old guy. I'll tell you who that guy was. You remember how old he was, right?
Yeah, the guy was like 90 or something.
Well, that was a long time. That was about 10 years ago, and the dude was really old. I forget his name. But he was an accountant in Chicago, and he did the books or the taxes or something. He took care of the taxes for one of the Untouchables, and it was the eldest guy, the 30-year-old. Now, I'm tempted to say the guy's name was Mike Malone, but wasn't that the...
Yeah, that's Sean Connery in the movie.
That guy, that's bullcrap. The Sean Connery character's total horse dung. Although he might have taken the name. I think there was a guy named Malone. Well, this old guy was fantastic. He was talking to us. And you know when a guy's not bullcrapping you, you know?
Yeah, that guy sounded like he was real. Yeah, he was talking about Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, that was another great story he had. This guy, folks, worked in Minneapolis and St. Paul and had been in Chicago as well. And when we talked to him, he was in his late 90s and he was still going to the office every day. God rest his... He must be gone by now, unless he's... Oh, he'd be over 100 years old. But when he was younger, he worked in Chicago, and he was working as a... doing accounts, some kind of a CPA job. And I think by the time we talked to him, he'd gotten his law degree. He was a lawyer, right?
Yeah, he'd become a lawyer. I thought he was a lawyer then. Yeah, wasn't he a lawyer then?
I don't know. He had some relationship with one of the members of that Treasury Department force that Elliot Ness had gone to Chicago and put together. And he said, he was the guy that said to me, you know, you're not talking about really old guys. He said, well, how old were all of them? He said, the oldest guy, he says, was the guy that I knew, this Mike Malone, or might have been, he said he was 30. He says, so there was no, you know, they were very young men. And he said, oh yeah, I knew him. And then he told a story about Teddy Roosevelt that I thought was fantastic. I said, you knew Teddy Roosevelt? He said, I knew President Roosevelt. He said, I know him. He said, I met him once well after his presidency. This was in maybe, you know, I don't know when the hell Teddy Roosevelt died, but it was in the years following his presidency. And he said, I was at that time a part of some group that was hosting the former president, and I was assigned to sit with him in the afternoon in the hotel, make sure that he had what he needed, you know.
Didn't he have no Secret Service or nothing?
Well, in those days, I don't think ex-presidents got the kind of attention they get today. I don't know if they had Secret Service. I think in those days, ex-presidents hired their own security, you know, that kind of a thing. I mean, they're very well known and people, but they didn't, you know, it was a different time. They didn't think of things that way, but and presidents weren't the target that they are today, but nonetheless,
yeah. Tell Abraham Lincoln about that one. Yeah, tell Abraham Lincoln about that.
All right, fine, good point. But you know, anyway, he was assigned. He said, "Well, this is your job." I said, "No kidding." He said, "Yeah." So I said, "For one afternoon, you know, I was with former President Teddy Roosevelt." I said, so what was that like? He says, well, all he wanted to do was sit in the hotel lobby, and every time a good-looking girl came by, or any time any female came by, he would nudge me and say, what's she look like? Because his eyes were shot.
He couldn't see, huh?
No, he couldn't see anything. Remember, he wore those Coke bottle glasses anyway. And by the time he was an old guy, I guess he couldn't see that well. So he'd ask this guy,
how hot the chicks were?
Yeah. Basically. So he'd ask you, say, what's she look like? And what's that girl look like? And say, here comes another one, Mr. President. Ah, what's she look like, you know?
Yeah, what a little horn dog, man.
Hey, you know what? I mean, the guy's... Teddy Roosevelt strikes me, from all I've read about the guy, a very vital guy, you know? Probably up until the day he dropped. He was a cat that, you know...
Yeah, he's going up on that hill that he went up. What's the name of that one?
San Juan Hill. San Juan Hill. So,
they had black soldiers then.
Yeah, they did. The Spanish-American War, they had black soldiers. Yes, they did.
I'm talking about American.
Yes, they did have American black soldiers in the Spanish-American War. Yes, they did. They were. It was not an integrated army, but there were black soldiers that were in Cuba and elsewhere fighting for the United States in the Spanish-American War. Okay, so there's that story there. Thank you guys for bringing that up. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, we do have Bobby and Steve Dooley. I think we'll just have Bobby Dooley. I don't know who is hanging on the line with us here tonight to talk about the aftermath of the lottery, which my understanding is, Ms. Dooley, has not been a pleasant one for you.
That is absolutely correct, Bill. And thank you for having us on your program this evening. My husband, Steve, is here.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm very good, Mr. Dooley. How are you doing?
Very good.
And we are very grateful that you are having us on your program this evening, Phil, because we are in need of closure. And I do feel as if I speak on behalf of a great many women and men in the country tonight. It seems as if it's not a very significant issue, but when you have achieved what Steve and I have achieved in our lives for our sons and ourselves, we live in a beautiful home. We live in a gated community. As I've mentioned to you, Phil, our home is close to 7,000 square feet. We have a about a quarter acre flat of livable space. That is our property. We've completed the gazebo, which was a big, long-standing project. As well, I'm the president of our homeowners association. And we can very much afford to send our boys to a private school, even though we've elected to send them to Western Estates High, as a way of saying we want to be good neighbors. All of that is a backdrop, Phil, to what happened last week during the sale of these lottery tickets, which my understanding was called the Mega Bucks, or the Mega...
Mega Millions, but
the Mega Millions, yeah.
The Mega Millions. That we were approached, I was approached, and my husband, Steve, has told me that he was approached. What are you looking at, Steve?
I'm sorry, but that lady on TV has got a nice butt.
She's got a nice butt?
I'm sorry.
Why don't you turn that off? You're embarrassing me. Can you hold on for a moment, Phil?
We really can't. No, we cannot.
She's got a nice butt, did you say that?
Sorry.
You can't hold on.
No, ma'am, I cannot. We have to keep the show moving.
I've had an issue. In any event, the last week in the aftermath of the sale, or in the aftermath, I should say, of the news that this was a large Mega Millions jackpot, we had people coming up to us and asking us, oh, did you buy a ticket? Oh, are you going to buy a ticket? Do you know what the jackpot is? To have people ask you a question like that about a lottery ticket purchase, which is generally something that you're going to purchase at either a liquor store or at one of the smaller grocery / liquor shops, that they have down on Ventura Boulevard, which is really, we're talking closer to the Canoga Park area and Northridge, in the upper areas of Northridge. In other words, it's a very working class. So why would I be buying a lottery ticket when we have what I've already explained to you? And number two, for me to buy that lottery ticket, I would have to travel overland by car, probably around 20 to 25 minutes into an area of Northridge that has, and I want to say this kindly, has become overrun since the earthquake.
Yeah, it really has.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What do you mean by overrun?
Well, we really feel it's become overrun by working class individuals.
All right, hold on for a moment. Let's take a break here. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. I'm sorry that there seems to be a little bit of strain there.
No, it's fine.
All right, we'll take a break here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. The aftermath of last week's lottery and what Ms. Dooley and others are looking for as recompense to what they say has been a kind of a tough time for them, not because they didn't win the lottery, not even because they bought a lottery ticket, but the peripheral action about the lottery around them. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
we'll be right back.
Is our bitch.
You were looking at what?
The Phil Henry Show.
I can't arrest a nice butt.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association as we talk about the lottery last week. So, Bobby, you had a lot of people coming up to you. When you say a lot of people, are they friends?
Well, they were not so much friends as they were parents of some of the other kids at our boys' school. If they were friends of ours, they would tend to live here at Western Estates. That would mean within our gated community. And if they lived within our gated community, obviously they would know well enough not to ask a question like that. It's just not something you're going to ask someone who lives in the kind of a home that we live in the very exclusive surroundings that we live in. You don't ask people like us, oh, did you buy a lottery ticket? It's
pretty much insulting.
It is. It's very insulting. And now, these were people that would not really know better, although some may have. I don't know. We're still checking into that.
When you say checking into that, what do you mean?
Well, we certainly do want to determine whether or not these some of these mothers and others that that asked us, did you buy a lottery ticket? Did they know what they were doing? Were they doing it on purpose? Were they asking us this question to humiliate us or to intimate that I live in some lean-to or some dump? I don't know. But the trauma of that was something that we had to simply just bite our tongues over and wait for this lottery to get over with.
Could have done a long time without sure when they got to do it.
Yeah, hold on. Steve, don't yell everything, please, okay? You've already...
Okay, but so, in other words, Mr. Dooley, what you were saying is it took a long time for the lottery to take place?
Yeah, well, from the time that they announced it.
Give me the phone, please.
Sorry.
Give me the phone.
I'm sorry. It took a long time when they announced it before they had a winner.
Yeah, they. It seemed like they were talking about it forever.
Yeah, well, the jackpot kept going up and up and up and up, and the numbers were up and up until they finally had realized that they had sold at least three tickets, I think. I'm not sure how many others.
Right. So once that took place last week, that's when I got on the phone with Tammy Honeycutt Hirschfeld and with Janice Greeley, and we began to make some of the phone calls to some of these parents at the Western States High School, and some of the others, asking them and really telling them that we needed some closure on these questions.
When you say closure, what do you mean?
Well, the assault that took place when they're asking us, oh, did you buy a lottery ticket? And you want to say, well, did you see where I live? You see where I live? Do I look like the kind of person? And really, when they ask you, did you buy a lottery ticket, and you say to yourself, do I look like the kind of person that buys a lottery ticket?
You know, that's very humiliating.
It really humiliates. And so that's why I said that we are looking for closure, that if I was able to talk to some of these women and men who asked us,
okay, I'm not really sure, but what it sounds to me like you're saying is the mere fact that people asked you, did you buy a lottery ticket, was an insult.
It really was, and let me, I know it sounds unusual.
Well, it sounds a little unusual. The mere fact that they said to you, they asked you...
Yeah, they didn't just say, hey, did you buy a lottery ticket? Wait, buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, and they said it in the most, one of the things that struck me, Phil, was they said it in the most matter-of-fact way, as if I wouldn't be offended by it.
And, well, doesn't, see, that proves something.
What does it prove?
It proves that they did not have any ill intent. If they say it, hey, did you buy a lottery ticket? They're probably saying it in a collegial, there's a word that we've learned over the last few days, but in a very friendly and a warm way, as, hey, you know, hail fellow well met. We're in this together.
Well, that's what I mean. We're not in it together. We're decidedly different, me and him, or whoever. In one case, it was Carolyn Rogers' husband. He's a fireman. He's a good man. He's a very good man. He's a fireman. And so they live in a very modest home. And him and me, you know...
Him and me and him and her don't have any...
We don't really... You know, we don't travel in the same. And so when he said to me, did you get a lottery ticket? And him and me?
Him and me, meaning you and him.
I'm not trying to make a joke out of this, Phil.
No, I understand that. But, you know, when you claim to have a certain level of class or erudition or both, and you say him and me, grammatically.
Is that grammatically incorrect? I'm sorry if it is.
It does. Him and me is, you know, you say that he and I, because what you're supposed to do, the rule there is, how would you start the sentence were you the only subject, or the only noun? I bought a lottery ticket. He and I bought a lottery ticket.
Yeah, him and I.
Him and I bought a lottery ticket.
No. He and I bought a lottery ticket.
He and me.
No, because you wouldn't say me bought a lottery ticket.
Oh, I get it.
Well, okay, so you get it. But, I mean, the point is, why don't you know these things?
Gregory, let me tell you a little something about how to make money in this world.
Mr. Dooley, I know how to make money. I've made a fair amount of money in my life.
All right, but, I mean, I don't need to talk real good. No, you don't have to talk good.
Yeah, I agree, Phil. Let's talk about... who's the man you were talking about the other day, Steve? Sparky Anderson?
Yeah, Sparky Anderson talked like a retard.
Can we not use that word, if you don't mind?
What's that?
Don't use that word you just used, if you don't mind.
You talking about Sparky Anderson?
No, not Sparky Anderson, the retard word.
Oh, okay. Well, I just say he's telling it, isn't he?
That may well be, sir, but I'm just telling you, as parents and, you know, kids are listening tonight, and you're talking about having class, this, that, and something else, I personally don't think it bespeaks an individual very well when they butcher the English language, when they use grammar incorrectly, when they sound uneducated. Okay?
Well, if you're saying, Mr. Henry, that we sound uneducated, I think at some point you're being a little cruel. I think it's beside the point. I think what we're saying is that we've been wrong, and we're looking for closure. And
what about closure we need?
What closure do you need? What closure?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. What closure is needed?
The closure of having been...
The closure of being asked, did you buy a lottery ticket? We need closure from that insult.
The closure from that insult, yes. And
that's an insult, huh? The fact that you were asked to buy a lottery,
No, not asked to buy one. Did we buy one?
Closure!
Well, I don't think you're going to get any closure, and I don't think you're going to get any apologies. If it was me, I wouldn't apologize.
Well, I'll have to keep that in mind. Oh, my God, you know?
We came on this program, Mr. Henry, thinking we'd find some sympathy.
I really did. I didn't think that I was going to be talking to a man who... what we wanted to... was to find closure, and I didn't need a grammar lesson. And
Ms. Dooley, you've been on my program talking about we got this much money, this many square feet, this big of a lot, this, that, and him and me went and bought a lottery ticket.
I did. I said me and him, and I guess that's wrong too, huh?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, me and him bought a lottery ticket. Big deal.
Why would you get hung up on that when I'm looking for closure?
And okay, your closure is...
I'm going to close by myself with the closure.
Right. I'd like to strangle myself with a clothesline. Talking about her closure. All right. So anyway, what, bud?
That's pretty good trick. So if you're going to start a sentence with the word.
Yeah, that's how you know to start the sentence with the right word. If you're going to say, I would go, you know, I'm going to grandma's, you would say, she and I are going to grandma's, or Mary and I are going to, you would say, Mary and me are going to grandma's.
But we say me.
You could say me, like, at the end of the sentence, like, the money was given to Susie and me, because you would say the money's given to me.
Wouldn't say money's given to I.
No, you sound like an idiot if you say that. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Pretty good trip.
What about my closure?
I guess it'll get enough.
Phil Henry. Famous Bill Henry Show.
Hold on for a minute. Bobby and Steve, if you hang on, I got Stephen Bozell back on the line with me here. We have a gentleman had a question for him, if you don't mind.
Well, at what point are we back on?
When do we get back on?
Just as one gentleman had a comment for Stephen Bozell, 877-876-PHIL. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, Bill, I'm right here, and I'm hoping that Ms. Dooley was talking about closure, you know, and I agree with you. I think that bad words, you want closure, I'll tell you what. You know, I'd hope for some, too, in my life.
All right, 877-876-7445. Okay, let's get Adam on the line here. Adam, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. I was just commenting on the fact that this guy doesn't really seem like he has a pair to, you know, man up. And like I was saying to you, my brother brew on, like, Saturday mornings and stuff, and he's sitting there wanting to drink alcohol. And it doesn't make you less of a man if you don't want to drink. It just actually makes you more of a man and more in control of your life. So, you know,
try saying that. Yeah,
drinker, he's got a really bad alcohol problem. He's spent 4 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. He's pulled weapons on people in bars right in front of me and stuck a gun in a guy's mouth because he was so blasted. So I just figured that, you know, not following in those footsteps is the best policy. And what you're doing,
if you think about it, though, your brother's being, that's more manly, if you think about it, though.
What's more manly?
What do you mean more manly? Put a gun in a guy's mouth? Well, I mean, didn't he take a gun and put it in the guy's mouth, you said?
Yeah, he put a gun in the guy's mouth because he was so drunk because the guy was talking about the war and how people shouldn't be over in Afghanistan and Iraq. So you think that's more manly to stick a gun in a guy's mouth?
I think if I shut the guy up.
Oh, come on, will you? This is an Iraq war veteran who's going to wind up in jail.
Well, there's a guy talking garbage about America. I wish it was me.
You wish it was you what? That you got the gun in the mouth?
No, I wish that I was able to do that.
So what are you saying? This is a gentleman here who's just called in and said that his brother is terribly, terribly troubled, is a drinker, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I mean, I've never drank alcohol in my life, so maybe I don't know. But I was drinking near beer. Does your brother... Well, that's probably a stupid question. What's your brother drink, sir?
My brother drinks heavy, heavy beer, like 9-10% alcohol, and... And I just, you know, my like you said, my family has a history of drinking and stuff, and I just don't follow. You know, I do homebrew and stuff like that, but I have beer and vodka in my fridge that's been there since my wife's birthday last January. So I just don't follow in those footsteps. And just to be honest with you, man, if I would have been that guy whose wife's ass you slapped, yeah, you would have been on the floor. And then you could have rightfully fired me. But the thing is it... You shouldn't play games with people. You should just be up front. Don't be fake, man, because if you're fake, then just people are going to really dislike you as soon as the truth comes out.
Yeah, okay. So you said you'd slug me, but that guy was talking garbage about America. You weren't going to do nothing, and your brother did the right thing.
How's putting a gun in a man's mouth doing the right thing? You know, if that gun goes off, that brother of his is guilty of murder because a guy was talking crap. Now, I don't like to hear it either. But killing a man for that?
Well,
it just seems to me like he's trying to justify what he did, and there's no justification for slapping another woman's ass, especially if the woman's married. I mean, even playing around. Cause,
I'm, just,
you,
I'm just saying, my wife gave birth to two kids. My wife's, excuse me for just talking straight.
Go ahead.
My wife's ass is never going to be that size again. And so
you're veering off, man. None of this makes any sense. I'm just pointing out the fact that you should be real to yourself and don't be fake with your friends.
Right.
If they don't like you for who you are, no, seriously, if they don't like you for who you are and you have to actually drink, that's pretty pathetic. I mean, living your life.
Let me ask you this. If I pulled a gun and I put it in the mouth of that woman, well, that wouldn't make any sense, though.
What?
No, that wouldn't
if I pulled a gun and put...
I put
a gun in the mouth of that lady.
What you did. You're just trying to justify what you did, dude. And there's no justification for what you did.
Right.
Because
you acted like a jackass.
Drunk. Yeah, you weren't
drunk.
But I was pretending that I was. And if I was pretending that I was, why didn't he let me off the hook?
Why would he let you off the hook?
Because I was drunk. I was not in control in his mind.
You weren't drunk, though. You weren't actually drunk. I don't know where your confusion is coming from, but you weren't actually drunk.
No. I know I wasn't.
Why would you think that we're...
Because I was pretending he would think I was. And if he thought I was, he'd understand why I slapped his wife's ass. I was drunk.
Dude, if you were to slap my wife's ass and I was in the room, I would slap you down to the ground.
What if you thought I was drunk?
You would still have an issue.
You'd still slap me?
You don't touch other people's
wives. Oh, my God. You don't...
In this society, in our world, we hold people accountable, even if they're drunk. If you go out in a car and you run somebody down and you're drunk...
Well, that's different. That's vehicular.
What's different about it? You're still responsible.
Oh, my God.
Okay, listen, Adam, thank you very much. Do you understand?
I just don't understand.
God, what is with your voice?
Is that a girl on the phone, or what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
But what happened to your voice?
I'm sorry.
What happened to your voice?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying.
Okay, Adam, thanks very much.
Hey, not a problem, man. This is the first time calling, but I'll keep calling.
Is your brother back in Iraq?
What did you say?
Is his brother back in Iraq?
Is your brother back in Iraq?
No, he's home safe. He's here. I just went to his baby shower yesterday.
Four tours this guy has done. He should not go back, should he? Don't you think?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Because that dude that got it for, you know, that guy they arrested for that Afghanistan thing, man, he'd been there for three tours. I think he'd finally flipped his lid or something.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but a lot of them, I mean, he's gone to therapy and everything. He's doing a lot better.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
That was when he first came back.
Yeah.
So.
I can understand that, though, man. You know, they're still in that situation. They're still in that stress. All right, thanks very much, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yep. All right. Bye. World famous Phil Henry Show here. Will you buck up and butch up with the, what are you doing?
I can't get my voice.
I'm listening to some guy who's got real problems. Did you hear that guy that just called up?
Yes.
He's got real problems. Those are real problems. That's a brother that's back from Iraq. There's issues. You, with your pretending you're drunk, drinking near beer all night.
All I was trying to do was...
What were you trying to do?
I was trying to cop the feel.
Will you get your voice fixed? Hang up on him.
Oh, great.
I don't even know if the Dooleys are still with us. Are they still there?
Oh, check and find out.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bobby, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley?
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
That was absolutely uncalled for, that we were preempted for that ass.
I got that voice problem. Got hormone treatment.
The fact that that ass, and that young man that called in about his brother, that was a wonderful story of brotherly love and support, even though he has a brother that's suffering from those, from that trauma.
I absolutely agree. It was. It sounds like that family sticks together, and he said his brother's better, and that it was something that...
Yeah, probably just happened, you know, when they come back.
you know, got to get closure on it.
That's a very good example of men that need closure. And
well, you know, that word closure.
No, Phil, please. Closure is something that we need. We need it desperately. I was approached by people during the height of lottery fever, and I was asked by human beings with straight faces. They looked at me, how I dressed. They saw the car that I was driving. I could point behind me and say to them, even though we were a good mile, maybe 2 miles from my home, I could say, can you see that reflection on the hillside? That's my home. That's where I live. And yet they still would ask, did you buy a lottery ticket? How much did you win? Now, I'm looking for the same closure that that young man back from Iraq is looking for. No, I know that what I live through each day is not as traumatic as what our young soldiers go through in Iraq, or what they call the stand. Didn't think I knew that, did you, Phil? But there's a lot that you don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's great.
About the stand.
Yeah, do you know about the stand?
Yeah, I know about the stand. Yeah.
Oh, wow. What? You think you're a soldier or something?
No, I don't. I've heard them call it the stand.
Yeah, you know about the stand.
Okay, I got about the stand. Great.
Well, they need closure.
You know what? If you use that word closure one more time...
What are you going to do?
I'm going to throw up. How about that? Closure sounds like such a wimp word. What a wuss word. I don't think anybody should use the word closure. I think the word closure should be now closed. I need closure on closure.
That's pretty funny. You need closure on closure. Get that one, Steve.
Write that one down.
Got me on that one. That's good.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You can have it. Closure, it's a word with no strength. It's a word with no chutzpah. It's just a dopey word. It sounds like, I need closure. Sounds to me like the person saying that they need to learn to accept their bad fortune. And I don't, you know, I understand in certain instances you have to live with life, but accepting bad fortune, it just sounds like a surrender word. I don't like it.
What about our soldiers that need closure?
Oh, will you stop? Closure. They need to deal with things. They need to see the reality of things. They need to find tools and get and find ways to deal with what they've been through. But that word closure, it's now closed.
The word closure is closed, buddy.
I like that. The word closure is now closed.
Right.
I don't want to use that.
Well, that's great. Well, you're the one that was looking for closure.
Not anymore. It's closed.
Closed off.
Yep, that's right. Speaking of closed off, you ever heard the term cut off?
Yeah.
That's what you are.
No, baby, come on, don't do...
All right, so Bobby cut off Steve, huh?
How about that? And she got closure, but he got cut off.
Right. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, all's well that ends well, I guess. We've gotten closure. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. In about, 15 minutes, we'll have closure on this show. Or you'll have closure. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm just looking for closure, that's all.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
By the way, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, you know, we have a Twitter feed, which is... Twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And you can visit us over there on Twitter. You can check us out and like that. And then we're also on Facebook at Facebook.com/PhilHenry. And also on Facebook, we are a part of a group, or, you know, we like a group, as they say on Facebook, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA. And you can become a supporter as well of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and become informed and get to know the resources. Because as not as veterans, as citizens who support our vets, the best thing that we can do is know the resources that are available to them. Be at the ready to say, have you tried this? Have you called them? How can you know, we lead you to the right place if they need anything? It could be something having to do with the GI Bill, it could something having to do with their veterans' benefits, things having to do with the VA. You can get to know all that you need to know through the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And like I said, you can check them out on Facebook and elsewhere. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. We're also online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have to give away another BSP, man.
Now, I told you about that, Bob. I do.
What?
I said I told you that was one of the things you had to do.
That what you just said was a boo. So anyway, we've got to give away the BSP for the month of April, and we're already the second day.
Yeah, I'm going off the drive. Do it tomorrow.
All right, we'll have a drawing, and we'll do it tomorrow. And we'll give away our free backstage pass to another lucky listener tomorrow here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So if you want to enter a drawing for a free backstage pass for the month of April, because, you know, April showers may come your way, but, baby, they're bringing the flowers that are blooming in May.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what you do is you go to... you can either go to twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. That's our show account at twitter.com and hashtag Phil Henry. Hashtag Phil Henry. Or go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans. And that is our fan page over at Facebook. And like that page. So everybody that likes that page and everybody that hashtags Phil Henry over at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow enters the running for a free backstage pass for the month of April. It's as simple as that, and I know you'll enjoy it. All right, other things to mention. In our souvenir shop, of course, we have the new Bobby Dooley keychains, and we're selling those Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies like a crazy, like we're just going crazy with this, man. We going to sell out of those, Robert?
Yeah, right now, I mean, we sold out of some of the sizes, but we didn't reorder and everything like that, but we sold out some of the sizes.
We did sell out some of the big ones, but we have reordered?
Yeah.
All right. So in our souvenir shop, we have the new Bobby Dooley keychain, and of course, we have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is a smash hit. Everybody loves that. We also have our Phil Henry Show t-shirts and baseball caps just in time for the summer months, and we have the Phil Henry Show coffee mug, which, if I do say so myself, because I've been running into quite a few coffee mugs lately, a lot of coffee mugs for different shows, ours kicks ass.
Pretty sweet.
Ours is that big bitchin' kind of cappuccino shaped deal, but it ain't like one of them small ones.
Yeah, like that, you see them little teeny ones that look all gay and everything?
Right, it's not like that.
No, I'm big.
So check out our Phil Henry Show coffee mug. That thing is that's always a beautiful thing. And as well, our shot glass, the Phil Henry Show shot glass, which you've got to have for margarita season. Because, as you know, what we like to say here on the show, it's cerveza and margarita season is coming up. You know, generally during the regular run of the year, it's just tequila shots and beers. But, you know, so you have your shot glass. And we also have digital downloads of all of our legacy best of CDs. These are digital downloads that you can pull right off of the website. I think one cut. And we also have the digital download of the best of 1994 Miami CD, which is... I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but this is a first ever best of from the city of Miami. We were on WIOD down there, so that's there. And we also have the actual CDs minus the Miami CD. We have the actual physical CDs for sale.
But if you have the Miami one, a lot of people want to know.
We just don't have the Miami ones in stock anymore. They are gone, 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 baby. We don't have the physical Miami ones in stock, but we do have the download of the Best of Miami CD. So it's all there at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all your teenage dancing and listening pleasure. All right. Human ancestors used fire earlier than thought.
Oh, man, it's another one of these stories. You know, do a story about cave people and stuff.
I love caveman stories. You nuts? This is where we're from, man. Listen to this. Human ancestors used fire earlier than thought. Charred bones in a South African cave suggest that Homo erectus was utilizing fire a million... What are you laughing at, bud?
Homo erectus. How can they call him that?
Probably because he's walking around with a permanent... Will you shut up? That was the name of the hominid species that preceded the Homo sapien. So there were these Homo sapiens, And maybe that was us, and maybe it was another species that was around, and then it died off, and we came up. I don't know. But I think they're beginning to say now that all of these eventually became us, that it's one long, uninterrupted line. But there's a few that weren't connected, like homo...
sexual.
Yeah, like homosexual. I didn't mean that, you ass. Neanderthal is what I meant. Get out of here. Flame-bearing Prometheus may have visited humans earlier than we thought. An analyst of charred bones and plant ash and sediment from a South African cave suggests that Homo erectus was wielding fire a million years ago, and perhaps even cooking with it, according to a study released Monday in the by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And I'm sure, Sir Jerry. Anyway, the findings present the earliest clear evidence of such use of fire. The ability to control fire marks an evolutionary turning point. It would have kept our ancient relatives warm in unforgiving climates and allowed them to cook their food, releasing trapped nutrients and getting more caloric bang per bite. Fire. All right, so I want you to read up on that, guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for your Phil Hendry needs. Join us, won't you please, for our nightly video casts in, what do you call it, man? In HD. In HD. Let's see, what else we want to tell people? Oh, we're starting a new podcast. This is going to be a free podcast, and I'll give you more information as we go along. Phil Hendry Presents will be a brand spanking new podcast with a lot of new material, and that will be part of what's coming up, including PhilHendryRadio.com.
Phil Hendry.